It's been a crazy, crazy month, right? I've heard so many stories already. I mean, Mike was at the Las Vegas concert, literally dodging bullets, and Michelle's backyard almost got burned, Lauren's house almost got burned from these fires. So it's been a crazy, crazy few weeks, and I want to talk about Psalm 46, but these wars, these things that are happening in our world, the hurricanes, the fires, the terrorist attacks, what's going on? What's going on in our world? But more than that, where can we go in times like this for comfort? Where can we go for refuge? Where is our fortress at? Where is our place of safety in disasters like this? Whether it's a disaster externally, things like this, maybe this isn't affecting you like it's affected Michelle and Lauren and Mike. Maybe it's not these external things. Maybe it's something in your heart, something in your mind. Maybe you're experiencing attacks in your feelings, in your thoughts, in your mind, and it's affecting your life. Because no matter if it's external or internal, we all have wars. We all have wars of the heart, attacks on our soul and mind from the enemy who wants to take us out, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. When those relationships don't work out, when those thoughts come into your brain and they say you're no good, and it rises up feelings of insecurity and fear and doubt in yourself, and you can't seem to shake it, and it stresses you out, when those feelings come and make you feel such shame and insecurity, where do you go for help? Where do you go for refuge? Where is your place of safety? The fire going on nearby has put homes and lives at risk. But thankfully, as I've seen on Facebook, many of you have marked yourself safe, right? Facebook has that little thing you click and it says, mark yourself safe. And I've seen several of you and other people who used to be in the college ministry that have marked themselves safe. And my heart's been breaking. I'm like, man, I wonder how much they've been going through. So my question to you tonight is, where can you mark yourself safe from the turmoil we face in this life? And like I said, doesn't necessarily have to be external. It could be internal. Where do you mark yourself safe? Where do you go in the restlessness? Where do you go to find protection? So that's the question I want us to think about as we dive into Psalm 46. So we're going to look at this on the screen. Psalm 46, one of the best psalms in the whole book. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Let's just stop right there. God is our refuge and strength. What's going on here? Refuge. That word literally means a place of safety, a fortress. Where's your refuge? Where do you go when times get hard? Where do you go when there's danger out here or danger in here? He's a very present help. That means he's always available. Right? God is always available to help you. The question is, are you actually aware of that availability that God is offering to you? He's always available, but a lot of times we're too busy, there's too much noise in our lives, and we can't actually be aware of his presence that is available to give us a hug when we need it the most, to give us comfort and peace in our hearts and minds, to remind our minds and remind us and replace those negative thought patterns with positive thought patterns and say, no, that's not who you are. You're a child of God. No, you're not defined by your past. You're not defined by your external circumstances. You're defined by who I say you are. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. That's who God is. That's what he does for us. We have to remind ourselves of that, that God's always available to help, but are we aware of that? Are we ready to receive his help? And therefore, because of that, we will not fear. We will not fear. People have been offering their homes. I've been also seeing on Facebook people saying, hey, if you're around and you need somewhere to go, I have beds, I have couches, I have food that you could eat. You could come over and stay at my house. Humanity at its best. People rescuing. I had a friend who posted that she drove her carriage of 6 horses and she drove them and tried to pick up horses that were stranded and left to the fire and picking up horses and doing other things. I mean, helping humanity, helping pets, helping animals. Humanity at its best. And really what this passage that we're going to look at is saying is this. We must trust in God's power, provision, and presence. For he is always ready to help us, even during the worst of times. We must trust in God's power He's got the ability to overcome any challenge you're facing. You also must trust in his provision. He's the provider. He's not just protector, he's provider. And his presence that's always available to you. For he is always ready. He's always ready at the drop of the hat to help you, even during the worst of times. So God is the ultimate defender of you. He's always ready to help. He's an ever-present help. So let's move on to verse 4. There's a river. What's going on here? There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Okay, this is all, I know that sounds weird, but in those days in Jerusalem, Jerusalem was on a mount called Zion. It's this holy mountain where the temple went, and the temple was a symbolic place for the presence of God. So where the Ark of the Covenant was and the Holy of Holies within the temple, that was a symbolic place for the presence of God. And so the people of Israel thought, if the presence of God was with them, then no enemy nation could actually take them out because they had the presence of God with them. There wasn't any enemies, foreign or domestic, that could take them out because the presence of God was with them. They say, God is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. Verse 7. That word, the Lord of hosts, that just means the God of angel armies. The God of 1,000 angels who have armies, could take out anything and anyone, is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 6 says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter, but he utters his voice and the earth melts. He has dominion upon the earth. He could take out anyone and anything at any moment. He's got that kind of power. He utters his voice and the earth melts. He's a very present help in times of trouble. When everything else changes in your life, the one constant that never changes, whether in physical realm or the spiritual realm, is Christ, is God. He's the one constant. No matter if your house burns down, no matter if you get cancer and you pass away, no matter what happens to you, the one thing that will never change in this life is Christ. He never changes, ever. And that's the only thing we could rely on, right? Because everything else in this world is fleeting. I was just talking to one of the pastors on the staff. He said Sunday night he was at a Coldplay concert in San Diego. Monday morning he was packing up all his valuables in his two cars because his house was getting threatened. Overnight his life changed. Life could change overnight. But the one thing that never changes in our lives is God. And for that, and for his power, and for his ability, and his provision, and his protection, we give him thanks. We give him honor. And we say, God, I'm available to you. I thank you that you're always available to me. Help me to become more available to you. God is always there to help us. Have you ever been in trouble and you've been desperate for help? There's a story about a father who watched through the kitchen window as his small son attempted to lift a large stone out of his little sandbox. The little boy couldn't get enough leverage to lift the rock over the side. Finally, he gave up and sat on the edge of the sandbox with his head in his hands. And the father says, "What's wrong, son? Can't you lift that rock out of the sandbox?" The dad asks, and the boy says, "No, sir, I can't do it." And then the father asks the boy, "Have you used all the strength that's available to you?" The little boy says, "Yes, sir." And the father says, "No, you haven't. You haven't asked me to help you. You haven't asked me to help you. You haven't used all the strength that's available to you. You haven't asked me to help you." And I think so often we get stuck in these times in our lives where disaster's happening either out there or in here, and then we don't use the resources that are available to us. God is an ever-present help in times of trouble, externally or internally. So that's the question to you tonight. Have you used all the strength that's available to you? Because we can't do it under our own power, right? We need the Holy Spirit inside of us. We need the God of the universe to help us overcome the challenges that we face. And so you have to say, you know what? I've done everything I could do under my own power. There's one thing I haven't done. I haven't prayed. I haven't asked God for help. And that's what the little boy forgot to do. He forgot to ask his dad for help to lift the rock. Are you asking the Father for help, or are you trying to do it all yourself? Are you trying to solve all your problems yourself? Are you trying to control everything? You're trying to white-knuckle everything and control everything in your life instead of releasing it and saying, you know what? I can't control other people. I can't control what happens out there. I can't control natural disasters. I can't control, even this verse is talking about natural disasters, when the mountains tremble and the seas rise. I can't control these things. But I know the God who utters his voice and can control these things. I know the God who's walked on water. I know the God who created everything in the first place, and he's going to put it all back together in the end of time and make it all right again. No more earthquakes, hurricanes, fires. No more evil terrorists. No more guns. No more violence. So I can't control what happens out there, but I can control one thing. I can't control my internal will to say, God, I need you. I need your ever-present help that's available to me. I'm going to take you up on your offer. I can control that. Have you used all the strength that's available to you? Let's move on to verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Behold, let's just stop right there. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Have you ever looked back at your life and seen the faithfulness of God over and over again throughout your life? Seen the grace, the love, and the protection and the provision that God has given you over the course of your life? And you're like, how did I end up here? It's only by the grace and mercy of God. It's only a gift of God that I'm still here. Behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. He's basically saying, all your weapons of war, I'm breaking them. I'm breaking them. I'm breaking that bow. I'm breaking that spear, because violence one day will have an end. I could end it all right now if I wanted. Jesus could end it all right now if he came back. But he chooses to allow us to go through this for whatever reason. His ways are higher than our ways. But he could do all those things. He makes the wars cease. He's the God of angel armies. He's the God of 1,000 angel armies that could defeat anything spiritually or physically. He's the Lord of hosts. That word means the God of angel armies, the Lord of heavenly forces. The Lord of hosts is with us, verse 11. He's with us. The presence of God is with us. Therefore, there's no enemy out there, no enemy in here that could take us out. And what does he say to do in light of that, verse 10? What's that say? Be still and know that I am God. He's talking to the nations there. Those words are plural in the Hebrew. And he's saying, be still, nations. You can't rise up against Jerusalem. You can't rise up against the holy city. Be still. Know that I am God. I'm the one who made it all. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is a call for silent trust in God's saving power, both now and in the future. It's a call for silent trust in God's saving power, both now and in the future. It's about us having faith and trust that although there's all this calamity in the world, although there's evil and there's natural disasters, one day it will all be made right again. One day Jesus will come back and make all things new, and he will make it like it was originally supposed to be before sin corrupted every inch of the cosmos. He will put it all back together. A new universe, the Bible says, a new Jerusalem, a holy city coming down out of heaven onto earth, Revelation 21. A new universe, new heavens, new earth. The stain of sin will be removed. The stain of sin will be removed. And evil people like this guy in Vegas will never, ever be able to harm anybody again. So this passage is telling us to remain hopeful, to put our trust in the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the one who could fight our battles, the one who is protector, provider, and he also always, always is faithful to show up in our lives. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And this verse is saying that we have to remain hopeful in the God both now, for the peace he could give us in the midst of natural disasters, for the peace and the love and the presence he could provide to us in the midst of what we face externally, but also to remain hopeful because of the future fact of Christ coming again and making all things new. So this passage, it's a powerful passage. And there's a song that is written from the lyrics of this passage, because this was a song back then. They sung this. In fact, as you see at the bottom there where it says Selah, at the end of verse 11, Selah, that's a Hebrew word, and scholars aren't really sure what it means, but they know this. Most scholars believe it means pause, reflect, take a breath. Reflect on what you just sang. Take a breath. Get ready for the next verse. Reflect, pause. think about it. And so I just want to create that moment right here for us to reflect and to hear a song that's been put music to these lyrics, that a song from 3,000 years ago that we're going to sing now from a modern band, a contemporary band called Shane and Shane. So we're going to look at that right now.
Oh, come behold the works of God, the nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. Oh, mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire.
every word from Psalm 46. God is with us in the fire, with us in the storm, with us in the battle. That's the God we serve. That's why they get excited. And actually, Martin Luther, in the 16th century, actually, he wrote a hymn called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, based on this psalm. And he used to say whenever he'd get down and get depressed, he's like, let's just recite Psalm 46. And similarly, in the 14th century, when there was a godly man leading his fellow countrymen, and when the enemies were overrunning this land, this psalm was a source of strength and courage. Over and over again, this godly man would recite Psalm 46, and then he would lead his revived men in a charge that drove the invaders back and brought ultimate victory. Throughout the ages, men have been stirred by the realization that the eternal God is available to them, and that nothing, literally nothing, can overwhelm or destroy a man or woman when he or she lives in this kind of faith. Lord of hosts, God of angel armies, able and willing to defeat anyone and anything in the physical or the spiritual realm. And that's the God we serve. That's the trust that the psalmist wants his listeners and his readers to have as we read this psalm. That God is in control. Where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? No fear when God is present. When the temple had the presence of the Lord, the Israelites did not fear because God was with them. Do you believe that today? Do you have this internal strength, this internal fire within you that says, because God is with me, I will not be afraid. I will not give in to temptation just because I'm lonely, afraid, tired, and hurting, and in pain. I will not be disrespectful to my parents. I will not just abandon that relationship just because it's not going well, that friendship just because it's not going well. I will do the hard work. I will develop character. I will develop the internal fortitude to become the man or woman God has called me to be, because the Lord of hosts is with us. He calms the waves of the sea. The mountains tremble and the earth shakes, but at his word, everything falls, the psalm says. That's the God we serve. This is the kind of faith that the psalmist is asking us to have. There's so much noise in this life, though. There's so much noise. So that's why one of the things God says in this psalm is, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we're afraid of silence. You ever been in a small group? You ever been in a small group and like nobody's talking and you're just like, okay, I have to talk because it's kind of awkward and it's silent, so I'm just going to talk and say something. Why are we afraid of the silence? We can't be afraid of the silence because God speaks in the silence. I want to tell you about a story in 1 Kings about Elijah meeting God. And really fast, check this out. This is amazing. One of the coolest passages in the Bible. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now check this out. Talk about natural disasters. Here we go again in the Old Testament. There was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, how do you hear silence, by the way? I guess he's just aware of the silence, right? When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Sometimes when we spend time with God and we devote time with God and we have silence before God, God might whisper and say, what are you doing here? And say your name. And in that moment, this is what I want you to say. I'm here to meet with you, God. For the next 10 minutes, for the next 15 minutes, for the next 2 minutes, I am here to hear from you and to meet with you and encounter you. Because you know what? You can know a lot of things about God, but that doesn't mean you know God. I could tell you all kinds of facts about Barack Obama and say, this is where he was born, this is where he grew up, this is what he likes to eat, this is his Wikipedia page, this is everything we know about him. But you don't know Barack Obama unless you've hung out and eaten pizza with him and watched the Super Bowl with him and just hung out and had dinner with the guy. You don't know him. In the same way, you could know all there is to know, all the facts about God. You could read God's Wikipedia page and know information about God. But if you don't know God, it won't bring about transformation. You can know information, but information is not necessarily transformation. Have you ever thought about that? You can know about God, but it's when you actually know God where you actually become transformed through the power of His Holy Spirit. And then you say, with your whole life and heart and soul and mind, you say, the Lord of hosts is with us. Why would I be afraid? What battle can't I fight? What sea can't I cross? What relationship can't be restored? Your family's broken. What family can't be reconciled? Lord of hosts is with us. Your grades are not doing well. What grade cannot be made up? The Lord of hosts is with us. A mighty fortress is our God. Where do you go in times of disaster, whether it's out there or in here? What do you do? Where is your place of safety? Where is your place of refuge? The God of angel armies is on your side. God is all and in all. He is everything you need. He will protect you and defend you in any and all ways. He utters His voice, verse 6 says, and the earth melts. What happens when He utters His voice to you? What happens when you actually be still and know that He is God, and He utters your name, and He says, I'm with you, I'm for you, I'm not against you, I've loved you before the foundations of the world, I know your name, I know every number of hair on your head, I know the future, the good plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and I've come to give you freedom and joy and peace through my Holy Spirit. Now will you make yourself available to my availability? The fact that I'm always present, I'm always with you, but are you aware of my presence? Are you making yourself available to me? Because every time you look back at God, He's there with open arms saying, I'm here, let's do this. But you just keep going, you keep backsliding, whatever it is, you keep going your own direction, and you get derailed, right? And He picks the train up off of one track and He puts it on the other. He says, I'm here, let's do this, let's go. You're back on track, let's go. Because that's the forgiveness and grace and mercy that comes through Christ from God. That's the God we serve, the Lord, God of angel armies. So what do I want you to do? What's the application for you tonight? It's that. Be still and know. Number one, be still. Be quiet. Like Elijah was quiet at the cave. Be quiet. And listen to the sheer silence where God says your name. And He says, what are you doing here? And then you respond, I'm here to meet with you, God. Be still. And then the next thing, know. You know what's funny about the next thing is you already get the next thing when you do the first thing. If you be still and you spend that time with God, you already know Him because you spent time with Him. Just like if you went out to dinner with Barack Obama, you know Obama now. Okay, cool. So all you had to do is be still and be quiet and let Obama talk and listen to Obama and get to know him. Now all of a sudden you know him because you were still. So you do the first thing, the second thing automatically happens. Two things this week that I want you to do. Be still, know. All you got to do is the first one because the second one happens automatically. So this week, spend 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever it is. Build up to more minutes. Go in a backyard. Go look at a fireplace. Go look at the ocean. Go look at the mountains. Look at a tree. Look at a leaf. Look at the birds. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't have anxiety. Look at them, you know. There's a biblical precedent for looking at birds and trees and bushes. Go look at something. My friend says, if you look at anything long enough, it'll teach you something. If you look at anything long enough, it'll teach you something. Jesus said the same thing. Go look at the birds. Look at the vine and the branches, the tree that bears good fruit. Go spend time with God in silence and let God speak your name and let God remind you of who you are, telling you your name, telling you the good plans He has for you and saying, the Lord of hosts is with you. The God of angel armies is on your side. What enemy, either externally or internally, can you not defeat because of that fact? What enemy are you facing today? What enemy out there or in here are you facing today? Identify it, face it with courage, and overcome it by the power of the Spirit within you, the God of angel armies, who's on your side. I'm going to close with this. Have you used all the strength that's available to you? Are you using all the strength that's available to you? This verse, be still and know that I am God, is something that many people over centuries have uttered as a prayer form. And they take away a word or two every time they say it. They say this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Be still and know that I am God. Self-explanatory. Be still and know that I am, the name that God gave to Moses. I am. I am everything you need. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am whatever you need. Fill in the blank. Be still and know that I am blank, whatever it is you need. Be still and know. Be still and know. Just experience his presence, having that experiential knowledge of God. Not just information about God, but knowing God. Be still and know. Be still. What does that mean? Just rest in his presence. And then be. What do I mean by be? Just take off all the other words, but be. Be aware of your existence. Be aware of the fact that you're here on earth, that life is a gift, that every breath that you take is a gift. Here we are. We're on earth. We're alive. It's October 10th of 2017, and you're alive, and God has a plan for you, and God knows your name. You're still here. You're still breathing. There's hope. There's a future because the God of angel armies is on your side. Life is a gift. Be here. Be aware of God's presence within you. Imagine what your world would look like if you made this a practice to be still and know that the God of heavenly armies is on your side. Let's pray. Father God, you are the Lord of hosts, the Most High God, the Lord Almighty. You speak and the earth trembles. You could snap your fingers and all evil would be wiped away. All the natural disasters would cease. Every broken heart would be fixed. Every broken family would be reconciled. But you live inside of us for those who call you Savior, for those who know you, who spent time with you, who've experienced your love. And so we trust in you because of that, God. We ask you to search our hearts once again. Know us. Help us to overcome whatever enemy we're facing, externally or internally. Help us to overcome whatever it is we're facing tonight. Because you're on our side. You're on our side. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we turn to this last song, I just want you guys to take a second, let all that sink in, and just focus on the cross. It's right behind me. And just let Jesus speak to you. Be still.